that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. On today's program, we'll be talking with two representatives from the Chico Arts and Cultural Foundation, two women who conduct informative tours of the rich array of public art pieces in downtown Chico. Everyone's invited to join them on one of these tours. There's one tomorrow morning, starting at 10 a.m. You'll discover many things about Chico's public art, details and insights you never knew or perhaps just didn't notice. Today we'll also be welcoming two members from the Chico-based creative jazz ensemble known as BOGG, B-O-G-G. They'll tell us about their brand new EP of original compositions. We're listening here to the title track, The Good Fight. There's a party tomorrow night in downtown Chico, where BOGG will play all of the compositions on the album live. Stay with us. We have some great guests today here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Chico tonight, at the Downtown Plaza, a perennial favorite of the summer concert series, the Mystic Roots Band. The band plays its solid reggae and hip-hop sounds beginning at 7 o'clock. Chico Theater Company ends its run of the family comedy Cheaper by the Dozen. Three more chances to see this funny show, tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, and Sunday at 2. Mark your calendars for a week from tomorrow and Sunday when Chico's Labor Day weekend tradition returns. The Butcher Shop, the homegrown avant-garde free theater and music event, known for its irreverent offbeat humor. It'll happen at a unique outdoor location on the southwest edge of Chico. On Weekend Showcase next week, we'll be talking with a couple of the Butcher Shop creators. At the Chico Arts Center, artists both young and not so young pool their talents for the exhibition Shared Visions, Artist Collaborations Across Generations. This is the final week to enjoy artworks jointly created by kids and adults. Hours for the center, noon to 4, Monday through Friday, 10 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. On Monday at Chico's Sierra Nevada Big Room, the dynamic blues guitarist Ronnie Baker Brooks, this powerhouse of the blues, starts his concert at 7:30. Tomorrow night in Paradise, at the Norton Buffalo Hall, a singer-songwriter whose appearance is part of her West Coast tour, celebrating the release of a new album, Pam Mark Hall, begins her concert at 7 o'clock. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Today's the birthday of Leonard Bernstein, American composer, conductor, author, pianist, and cultural icon. In Bernstein's words, music can name the unnameable and communicate the unknowable.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm talking with Monica McDaniels, who is founding member of Chico Art and Culture Foundation, currently a board member. I'll also be speaking with Mary Gardner, who is a board member too. They're going to tell you about a wonderful activity tomorrow, Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., and it's going to be a mere 79 degrees. Monica, what will people be able to do tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., people can meet at the Our Hands Sculpture in front of City Hall for a free tour of downtown art projects. The tour goes for about an hour. It's about a mile long. It's accessible to all different types of people who can get around the downtown, and it's really fun. The thing I find most exciting is citizens who have walked by standalone art pieces millions of times will see them in a new way. After every tour, people always come to me and say, I never realized that there was a piece of art there, or I never understood what it meant, or I never understood how it got there. I think people just take for granted what's around them in their day-to-day lives. This tour really provides citizens with an opportunity to get to know the world around them better. Chico is the number 10 art town in the United States. We'd established that many years ago. Standalone art projects is part of the reason why.
What do you find a particularly exciting public art piece that people will see?
One of my favorites is the Diamond Alley tile mural project. That was just a pylon that was created to end an alley so people wouldn't drive through it. And the mayor at the time decided that they wanted to turn that into a piece of art. They got 5,000 school children involved, and they are the ones who painted all of the little tiles on those pillars. I like that one especially. It goes a little bit deeper than that, and people can hear about that if they come on the tour. I also really like the parking structure mural by Dayton Claudio. And I really love seeing people discover that piece in a whole new way when I take them on the tours. It was one of the first pieces of public art in the city of Chico, and it's really withstood all of the years. It's been up, it's still vibrant and beautiful. Dayton Claudio took in all of the different elements from Chico, a hardworking character, the Industrial Revolution and how that changed our community, the watershed, and there's even a portrait of John Bidwell in that piece.
Mary, tell us a little bit about the history of public art and your involvement with it.
I was on the Arts Commission for 7 years in the early 90s. There was a funding source that had been identified by the City Council to build public art. The Arts Commission developed a master plan, then developed an Art in Public Places policy, and finally launched their first public art project, which ended up being the Dayton Claudio piece on the parking structure that Monica referred to earlier. We now can proudly lay claim to over 50 artworks all over the city of Chico. The Chico Arts and Culture Foundation completed an inventory to figure out which artworks are in need of routine maintenance or actually might need more serious repair. And we have identified 5 works that really need some help.
Mary, what do you think art in public places adds to Chico?
You know, I love to encounter artwork myself that makes me stop, maybe puts a big smile on my face. I love artwork that has some humor to it. Also, it's really important to have artworks that reference where you are. It really can give you a sense of place. For example, where the tour meets the hands, some people think of it in a spiritual way. Other people think of it as holding or welcoming. The hands actually have mosaic elements built in, which reference Chico State, which reference nature, which reference agriculture. People may walk by that and not notice it right away. After a while, somebody might stop and think, oh, wait, there's an orchard embedded in those hands. You're not getting it at a glance. You experience it multiple times. I think public art should work on many different levels. I really am very, very proud of Chico that we made such a commitment, made such an investment in public art, and supported so many local artists. Of the over 50 artworks we built over the years, about 90% of them were built by local artists.
Monica, how about your opinion on what public art adds to Chico?
I think that public art adds to the quality of life. I think it enlivens the world around us. There's a reflection of the community that it serves. One thing that I really love about many of the public art pieces in the city is that they reflect our watershed. It's an important ecological feature of our town. Other themes that arise again and again are love of people and love of trees, love of community.
Do you know you can go to San Francisco, you can have a professional tour guide, and they give the same spiel all the time. But these are involved, enthusiastic guides who speak with a great deal of passion.
The tour is completely free. Donations are happily accepted at the end of the tour. Donations all go towards maintenance of standalone art projects within the city, many of which need maintenance and repair. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at the Our Hands Sculpture in front of City Hall. The location of City Hall is 411 Main Street. It goes for about an hour. We would love people just to join us and to learn a little bit more about the city, whether they have visitors or not.
Well, thank you both very much.
There's a brand new EP of original compositions by Chico's popular jazz ensemble, Bog. We're listening here to the title track, The Good Fight. In just a couple minutes, we'll be talking with two members of Bog. We're listening here to a track from an EP coming out tomorrow. The group is Bog. We have two members of Bog, Joshua Haig and Gavin Fitzgerald.
Thanks for having us.
Joshua, how long has Bog been in existence?
Bog's been around for about 5 years now. It started the summer after we graduated college. Michael Bone and I wanted to create a project that was more based in improvisation. The band we had previously, called Clouds on Strings, was a little more through-composed, a little more nerdy in some respects, and we were really getting into the music of jazz greats. We're interested in that because we'd never really tried it before, so we started this group, and it kind of melded into what it is today, which is half improv and half that old nerdy stuff we still liked and made back in the day.
I know you've been involved in a broad range of different kinds of music in Chico here. You, of course, are part of Uncle Dad's art collective. You've produced the big shows at Lax Auditorium. You did the Beatles' Abbey Road, and you also do Small Town Big Sound. That's coming up. Does your wide range of different musical styles affect your jazz work with Bog?
Yeah, but probably not in the way one would expect. Producing all the big shows and working on these large-scale ventures is a rewarding thing, for sure, and I really appreciate doing it. But what it kind of leaves is a hole about the size of the weird jazz music that I want to play. So Bog has kind of taken the place of the band of the music I want to play, and I don't care if it can't fill Lax, and it's just mostly for us and hopefully for the people that are into the kind of more off-the-wall style that we're trying to portray.
Gavin Fitzgerald, how do you fit into Bog?
I am the bass player of Bog and have been for the last 5 years. But I'm also a songwriter on this album, which has been very fun.
You call yourself a songwriter with Bog. So are there songs with Bog? Or is there singing involved?
Not necessarily. I guess that word is used. I guess I could say I'm a composer within this ensemble because there are no vocals, as is pretty common with Bog, except for a first release. But on this album, we took a different approach as far as writing is concerned. In the past, it's been a very collaborative effort where we're sort of hashing song ideas out in a garage and slowly building this piece of work. On this, I think we've been able to take our own time to create songs and then present them to the group and then perform them and tinker with them and critique them and sort of let them grow naturally. But they start as original compositions from each individual member.
So, Gavin, how would you describe the style of music you make?
Well, it certainly is under the umbrella of jazz, but I would say that our wide range of influence definitely affects the overall sound that we're producing. So think of jazz in a nice, colorful sweater with a fashion-forward hat, some new glasses, a pair of old army boots, and a skateboard under its arm. That's the kind of music, if you can visualize that.
Wow. Yeah. That's very visual.
It's probably for
an audio thing that we're talking about.
Yes. Well, I'm here to challenge the audience, Tom. And it's definitely a jazz influenced album, but I feel as though each track has a very specific and different taste and flavor to it. So we go from a salsa or more Latin style feeling song with Matt Wiener's tune. Joshua has more of a, I would almost call it cinematic feel to his song. I have a waltzy, forlorn, longing piece of music. It's a very wide range of sound that you're going to get under the umbrella of jazz music.
Joshua, that tune that we heard going into this, which is the title track, The Good Fight, tell me about how that got that name.
The Good Fight was one of the songs I wrote for the album. It was written very slowly after what I consider a really long period of compositional anxiety. Most of the time, I consider myself a performer or a player as opposed to a composer. I think my talents are best realized when someone writes a great song and I play piano on it. And I've been challenging myself to compose and to find my voice. And The Good Fight was the first time I've written something that I felt was quality enough to share with the world, because I'm kind of an intense self-critic. This record is unique to Bog because it's the first record we've done without Michael Bone as a prominent figure in the music. He's still involved with the band. He's still in the band and gives notes and whatnot. But during the time this record was written and released is when he had his lovely little baby, Olive, and his ability to gig and rehearse was a little bit more limited. He's been my partner in crime for a long time, probably going on 10 years now. So trying to write something that was my own without relying on those crutches of the creative people I surround myself with was kind of where the Good Fight title comes from.
Explicate about what that title, The Good Fight, means.
Yeah, The Good Fight is an exploration of what it means to be a composer and to be a creative person, especially in a world where the Bog members as professional musicians tend to have to play to the lowest common denominator, playing weddings and playing pop tunes. And finding that you can do that stuff and make a living and be successful in that respect, but also you can balance that with being creative and having a unique creative voice. So that's kind of where the Good Fight title comes from.
By the way, the title of your group, BOGG, that's B-O-G-G, where's the BOGG?
It's a combination of myself and Michael Bones' last names, because originally it was just the two of us in his garage. This time of really crazy exploration and kind of throwing caution to the wind in terms of what we wanted to sound like. We didn't really care if anyone liked it. You know, it was more just a internal building of our creative voices.
So a combination of Haig and Bone.
Yeah.
That makes sense now, yeah.
Finally.
Gavin, how long have you been playing music of any kind?
Oh gosh, probably since sixth grade. Middle school is when I was introduced to the old saxophone, which people don't know probably about me, that I tooted the horn. But I've been playing music since I was probably, you know, 12, 13 years old.
Were you always a big jazz fan?
Certainly not. No, as a matter of fact, I would say that my introduction to at least playing jazz was via BOGG, the summer of 2012.
We have Joshua on keyboard. We have you on bass. On this EP, who are the other musicians and what do they play?
Matthew Wiener on the violin, who's been a staple of our band for a long time. We have Madison DeSantis on drums, who kind of took over for Michael. And then Ethan Sweat, a phenomenal guitar player who we met through the Uncle Dad shows. Another creative, kind of fit in the Good Fight mentality of this guy who's really living the professional music life, playing with everybody, playing anything, mm-hmm. but also has a creative voice he wants to share. So it seemed natural that he should jump in and play some stuff and compose.
Describe the flavor of jazz your group is into.
I think part of the strength of the group is how varied our tastes in jazz are. All of us like jazz as a prominent genre, but jazz is such a varied genre in itself. Miles Davis famously said, we shouldn't call it jazz, we should call it social music. It's just current music that's important to people today. I think my influences and what I've heard the album kind of become is what I would consider more in the chamber jazz world.
What does that mean, chamber jazz?
Chamber jazz is this movement that came about in the 50s and 60s by guys that were more interested in crossing over from a purely improvised art form into having elements of classical music and elements of sections and counterpoint and things like that. Not in the same way as like some composers, what they call third stream, which is classical music and jazz kind of just cut together. But this was more small ensembles, usually with weird instruments. We have violin and guitar as our two mm-hmm. lead instruments, which is not the typical jazz thing. So usually weird instrumentation, not as much improv. There's sections of improv, but that are kind of pushed aside for kind of through composed stuff.
Chamber jazz also sounds to me very intimate, like you would be in an intimate kind of nightclub to hear it rather than, say, in Lax and Auditorium with a 50-piece band, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I love that. I love playing at Laxon and I love working on these huge shows, and it's a big passion of mine. But there's something really fun about getting five guys that really care about the music, not caring if there's a stage, not caring if there's an audience. You set up on the floor and you play it like your life depends on it to the sometimes three people that are in the audience. It feels like it's a return to what we kind of founded our musical tastes in, you know, this kind of to hell with it mentality.
Gavin, what makes you passionate about creating this kind of music?
I think part of it is just the intimacy within the group, within the ensemble of people, the closeness of friends that we've been able to curate over these years. That's obviously very exciting for me because I don't think I've ever been in an ensemble that has had that longevity and that ability to bounce ideas off each other without the ego getting in the way and letting ourselves be very fluid with our compositions. And so that's one exciting facet of creating music like this. But the other is it's true expression. Like Josh was saying, when we're out playing a wedding, let's say, or a corporate gig, you're sort of not pandering per se, but, you know, you're out there playing music for people to sort of walk past you and hear in passing. When you're creating original music and performing to the perhaps three people on the floor of a very small venue, there's something cathartic. There's something important about it. It feels like a true expression of something.
How do you guys want people to listen to this album? How do you want people to engage with this music on this EP, The Good Fight?
My hope is that people listening to this record will give it, not necessarily that I want it to be the center of attention, but I do think it has a lot to say and a lot of personality that can be unpacked from it. We started writing these songs in hotel rooms, you know, on breaks from these corporate gigs, and we finally got them to a place we liked them and started playing them. And we did a gig recently up in Dunsmuir, played them for almost the first time. And someone would finish a solo or a section and there'd be a huge applause. And I remember being taken aback by it because we're so used to giving everything we have and getting nothing back from the guy eating his steak, you know, at the table of his corporate party. But it's definitely a true expression of who we are currently as musicians. And it's my hope that people listening to it kind of can feel what it's like to be Bog for a second.
Well, let's talk about the release party, which is tomorrow night at the Naked Lounge on 2nd Street in downtown Chico. When does it start, and what are the activities involved?
Yeah, the doors open at 7:30, the show's at 8 o'clock. We're going to do basically the entire record, start to finish.
Live?
Yep, all the way, which is how it's supposed to be. We recorded it 100% live, first time we've ever done that as a band.
And there's four tracks on this EP,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, and then we're going to revisit. Michael's going to be there, and he's going to play some music with us. We're going to revisit some of our old original material.
And you have a couple of acts opening for you, right?
Yeah. Shigemi Minataka, who's my favorite pianist in town. Incredible and so humble about her talents. But when she plays, I mean, she tears the house down. She's playing with her trio. And then we have Science Witch, which is a new collaboration between folk singers Aaron Lizardo and Lish Bills, doing a set of new original material. The whole evening, I think, is going to feel spontaneous and new and exciting, and I'm really pumped to be there.
Here's another track from The Good Fight, the new EP by Bog. This composition is called You Were Right. That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program in its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.